Good morning, folks. We made it through the Taylor Swift invasion. And from almost every perspective, it looks like we hit home runs here in the city. So I want to congratulate all of those that participated in putting on one of the greatest shows ever to hit this city, Taylor Swift. And we'll be talking a little bit about that with Walt Leger at 10:30, president and CEO of New Orleans and Company. We'll also talk at 11 o'clock. We'll speak with Ruth Lawson, the president of the Jefferson Chamber, as well as parish president Cynthia Lee Shang. They put on the chamber, that is, a function every year that talks about the annual State of Jefferson Parish. So we'll talk about those particulars. Jeff Nowak joins us at 11:30 to talk about the Saints game, or lack thereof, and we'll talk about that with Jeff. And then Guy Williams joins us at 12. Got a lot of different issues coming our way. Let's go back to Taylor Swift for a moment. It seems like one of the most controversial things about this concert was the situation with the homeless. And I was listening to an interview that Tommy Tucker did with Councilwoman Leslie Harris earlier. And, you know, I want to commend the councilwoman for what she does. Obviously, it's an obligation that she has, but it's more than an obligation. It's an undertaking that she's participating in. And I get what she's trying to accomplish. I would part with her in a number of different ways as it relates to execution. And I would part with her in a number of different ways that we kind of respond and how we characterize certain things. And it's just very interesting. And in the same token, I commend Governor Jeff Landry for taking action. Because let's unwrap this a little bit. And, you know, maybe we can try and gain a better understanding, at least from a different perspective than what was presented by the councilwoman this morning. First off, we knew that Taylor Swift was coming to this city for at least a year. We knew the dates. We knew the time. The real question here is, where was the plan? Why would we not put a plan in place to keep those obvious areas in the ingress and egress from the area around the city and the dome, people traveling here from the airport, coming down off the ramps and everything else, where, you know, human nature is the first impression is a lasting impression. And, you know, why would we not have a plan? Why would the plan be that we're trying to clear this by Thanksgiving? Why would the plan not be to have this accomplished by the Taylor Swift concert? One of the biggest events to ever hit this city, ever. I totally understand when the councilwoman is talking about, you know, the diversity of the group that's there. There's not really a simple solution to this complex problem. And I think most people recognize that. And a lot of what their recommendations are not ultimate solutions to the complex problem. It's a different way of managing it. These people are where they are. They choose where they're going to go, and we allow that to happen without permission. Right? We don't, as law-abiding, tax-paying citizens, we don't get to park wherever we want, right? There's a plan. There's a parking plan. And it has to do with a lot of different particulars about the presentation of the city, ingress and egress into places of business and business establishments. And it's allegedly done in an ordered and structured way. And when you don't pay attention to the rules, you're sanctioned. You get a parking ticket. If you don't pay the parking ticket, you get booted. And if you leave your car there for a certain period of time, they take your car away. So when we have a plan, it seems as though there's no problem in managing the population on a whole host of stuff. That's what the building codes and everything else in code enforcement is all about, right? You just can't go put your dumpster anyway you feel like or desire. You can't park it anywhere. There's a plan. You have to provide the information, and this is what we're going to stick to. So when we talk about chaos, you know, as was described by the councilwoman, people living there, someone coming to your house, that is not absolutely correct. They're there without permission. They are squatters. The moment in time we start viewing this as their home, we are on the defensive. We're simply on the defensive. In fact, the connotation is that there's some permanency there. So that language has to change. And that's part of the problem. We're so focused on this that, you know, we're not empathetic, we're not sympathetic if we're trying to find a balance of interest as it relates to a whole host of issues that are presented here. The most obvious, you know, is that we need to pretty the city up to look its best because we're in the competition business. We're begging people to come here and spend their money. And if they see filth, if they see homelessness, if they see the underbelly of society up front and center and in their face, guess what? Call them whatever you want. They're less likely to come to the city. And there are a number of cities that are very forward-leaning on a whole bunch of different issues for that very reason. There's a compromise that has to be crafted. But they don't get it all their way. Because the more that we accommodate all their way because of individual characteristics or particulars of the plight that they find themselves in, we cannot be all things to all people. We don't do that for law-abiding, tax-paying citizens. So why is it that we're going to attempt to do that here? So, you know, we understand that there's a diverse group. We understand all of these issues. But they're there without permission. You just can't allow people to go do what they want, how they want, when they want on public property. Let's start with that premise. You want to talk about chaos? Don't enforce anything. Don't have a code of ordinances. Don't do anything. Just let people do whatever they want. Zoning, this, that, everything else, and see what you end up with. No, it doesn't work that way. So why do we have to apologize about having a desire to move these folks to an area where they're not front and center? They're there for a reason. Convenience, access to this or that, being able to panhandle on the street where there's more traffic that's being stopped. They have more access to the vehicles, whatever it may be. They're actually running businesses. They have one guy who's rebuilding bikes down there and selling used bikes. And we understand that there may not be enough housing or shelter, low barrier shelters, other shelters that have requirements. A lot of these folks don't want to live in a place with requirements. That's why they like what they're doing down there. Look, you know, when I check into a hotel, I don't get to pick the room. They tell me where we're going, right? It's not my building. Well, it's not their property. And that's basically the premise, I think, that we need to start from. So that everyone gains a better understanding of where we're headed and that we're trying to find a solution. So I don't know where the communication breakdown was, but obviously there's a plan breakdown. And the plan just cannot simply be that they get to go where they want, when they want, and set up a camp on public property. I can't imagine that an enforcement of a series of ordinances is going to be ruled unconstitutional. In fact, to the contrary, the more that you set up these ordinances so that there's clear notice, signage put up, and everything else, some indication of a barrier. I mean, maybe the state can solve their problem real easy and probably a lot cheaper, right? Put some nice fencing under the overpass down there when you come down and fence all the property. It's your property. Fence it. Problem solved. They're going to have to go somewhere else. Maintain the fence. Pick up the garbage. Maybe put something nice on it that makes it look pretty. I don't know that that's what the city would want. But at some point in time, we have to come to an understanding of what is it that the public actually desires. I have yet to talk to someone that says they're happy with homeless encampments at the down ramps leading into the city. I don't know many people that think that that's a great idea, that that's a great spot for them, that that looks like the city's putting their best foot forward in trying to reach a place where the interests of everyone are met. Just a thought. I mean, I understand that folks are one paycheck away from going broke or becoming homeless. I get it. There are a lot of challenges out there. But to characterize a regulatory action as being unbelievable and that, you know, the state was actually coming to their house, to me, that's a bridge too far. And I understand the frustration because individuals have been working long and hard with this, but I don't think it's unreasonable to suggest that maybe we should have had a plan to go into place before the Taylor Swift concert. If it takes months to vet these individuals and gain a better understanding about them and what challenge they have and present to get them into some kind of housing, I get it. But this was nothing new. It's not like this just was announced 3 months ago and Taylor Swift showed up for 3 days. This is just part of the planning, and it's part of, you know, what are we willing to accept? If we're willing to accept less, then that's what we're going to get, less. And look, we have a lot of other challenges that we're not going to be able to resolve because there's just not enough money to resolve it that we're trying to focus on as well, like water problems, like flooding problems, road maintenance problems, intersectional light problems, lighting up the city with street lights, other safety concerns. So, I mean, I just think that we need to develop this plan like we have other plans, and we enforce it, and we spend time making sure that there's a clear understanding and delineation of what we're willing to accept and what we're not willing to accept. And it seems to me that in the Eighth Amendment ruling of the Supreme Court basically recognized and realized that there is a balance of interest. And just because you're homeless or you're without money, you're without sustenance or otherwise, does not give you the right to trample on the rights of all others. And it doesn't mean that people who desire to have a clean city, to have a city that presents itself well, are bad people. These are difficult times with difficult issues and difficult problems. And it doesn't mean you lack sympathy and empathy if you want something better. And I do believe, for one, that if collectively everyone puts their heads together, there will be better in the management of it, but they just don't get to pick and choose where they're going to go to the detriment of everyone else. We'd love to hear from you, 504-260-1870. We'll be right back. So I spent some time in and around the city just kind of watching. Actually, went down early yesterday to the Warehouse District. The momentum, the energy, the excitement. We dined down there. I was the Uber driver for My family that was going to the concert, I did not go. But what I saw was just something absolutely incredible. It had a Mardi Gras-like atmosphere to it, and people were really pumped up, excited, a lot of money being spent, a lot of folks in town. It was jam-packed. It was the folks walking down Poydras to the Dome was just absolutely incredible. And here to talk to us about is Walt Leger, president and CEO of New Orleans and Company, for our review on the Taylor Swift weekend. Walt, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Newell. Yeah, it was absolutely spectacular weekend, wasn't it?
Three nights rock, I mean, just filled solid of stuff, from the merchandising lines and this and that and the lunches and the themes. I mean, almost every restaurant had a theme along the lines of, you know, Taylor Swift's Eras Tour. It was great. It was incredible, I thought.
It really leaned into all the incredible things that our community is all about. And you saw businesses, you saw locals, you just saw everyone sort of getting in on the action. You mentioned Mardi Gras. I mean, it felt a lot like that. There was a lot of energy. There was a lot of happiness and joy. And the whole community sort of embraced it and got in on the fun. I mean, when we have something to celebrate here, we know how to do it better than anybody else. And we really celebrated this Taylor Swift Eras Tour weekend in a way that I just don't think anybody else can compare with.
I had the opportunity, as I'm sure you have, Walt, to talk to a bunch of restaurateurs. They said they were packed. They were great. I was truly surprised by the number of out-of-town guests as well as international visitors that came here for the concert.
Yeah, I mean, huge numbers. We think well in excess of 150,000 here for the concert. From all over the world. I believe at some point we received some data that said 23 different countries represented. Of course, people from all sorts of different states. I happened to go over Sunday morning to Café du Monde in the city park, and there was a line about 30 minutes long there. I got to talk to a lot of people while standing in line about where they were from and how their visit was, and people were just having an amazing time, I think. The weather certainly contributed to that as well. It was just a beautiful weekend, and so a lot of people here spending a lot of money in our restaurants across the community.
Well, what are you hearing from the hotel industry? I was hearing OC rates in the high 90s to, you know, it's hard to get to 100%, but in the high 90s for sure.
Yeah, effectively sellouts on Friday and Saturday, and then Sunday, very high rates as well of occupancy. So, I mean, the hotels were full. The community was busy. And, of course, when there's that much demand, that means revenue. And so a really strong, strong weekend for the business community across the city of New Orleans and in the hotels, in the restaurants, in the retail outlets. Magazine Street was swamped with people. There were even lines getting into some shops. It was an incredible experience for our city, for sure.
Obviously, this we really right in the midst of the convention season. This comes at a really good time. We're going into Halloween now and so many other events, one after the other. Do you feel like that there's this additional momentum boost as a result of the Taylor Swift concert?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, while we had the amazing visitors, the Swifties from all over, we also had several meetings going on in hotels across the city. And yesterday we had about 10,000 with the nurse credentialing conference coming into town. So that's getting underway this week. So, you know, the convention calendar, the meeting calendar never stops. But I do think that we get a bump from the positivity of this past weekend. I think it'll even translate into additional sales for meetings and conferences. When you have this level of positivity, when you have the city showing up so well, when you have the Superdome performing as well as it did and getting high marks from visitors for the friendliness of the service and also the excellence of the facility, all those things continue to translate and build momentum for us and all the other work that we're doing trying to bring people to our community. I mean, we are a major events town. We run on having these types of opportunities. Conferences, conventions, and meetings are a part of that. But these major events are also major drivers of visitorship for our community, and we've got to continue to be competitive in that regard so that we can reach our highest potential as a city.
I was also very impressed by, and I'm assuming it was the NOPD plan, I'm almost certain that it was, there were officers on all of the major, you know, pathways to the Dome from the quarter, from the warehouse district, adequately covered. And I was the Uber driver, so I was driving all through around, and then again last night to pick them up. Totally impressed with the way that they handled the traffic. I saw JP officers out there. I saw NOPD, criminal sheriffs from New Orleans, state police, a lot of cooperation from the surrounding areas. And it all seemed to work, you know, fairly well when you think about the amount of people that are converging on one location at one time.
Huge kudos to the law enforcement community. As you said, very coordinated effort, very thoughtful, and great deployment. And also just high marks for the level of service that they provided. You know, I mean, a lot of our guests were talking about how friendly the law enforcement was, how helpful they were, how service-oriented they were. And I think we know those things about our law enforcement professionals in the region and in the city. But it's also great to hear that again. So we're I think everyone's incredibly grateful for a successful weekend. And our public safety professionals are a big part of that. They are often the face of our community and ambassadors for the community, as well as being there to provide safety. And they came through, of course, as they always do for these major events. And we're really proud of that and grateful for that.
And a nice practice run for the Super Bowl, too, right?
Yeah, I think got a few hiccups out of the way on the ride share. You know, plan was to utilize Duncan Plaza, and that, you know, that's never going to be perfect. You know, it's difficult to move that many people in a concerted way, but I understand that by Sunday night that was functioning in an improved fashion as well. And so in general, moving people in and out seemed to work very, very well, and moving people around the community was not as big of a challenge as it has been in the past. And so I think in a lot of ways a good run at getting prepared for the Super Bowl and other major events coming our way, but also, you know, reminding that we've still got some things to do on infrastructure and other things to get ready. So great progress being made and excited about the progress yet to come.
Yeah, I thought they did a good job, too, on the areas that are under construction, you know, moving people through that area, because I really didn't get into a gridlock situation at any point in time, which was nice. I kind of feared it, but, you know, avoided some of those areas, but it was able to go and take a look-see, and it seemed like it was all flowing pretty good.
Yeah, from a traffic control standpoint, they seem to have deployed a good plan as well. I've heard anecdotally from people who had real challenges making it in and out of the Garth Brooks concert last year, for example, or Beyonce, or any of the other sort of major events that we've had. And it seems like that went well. Of course, we had a lot of people from out of town, so a lot of people on foot. And some of those other events, we had a little more heavily regional traffic, so more people driving in. But to your point, I think it worked pretty well. And, you know, when dealing with 65,000 people in and out of a stadium like that for three consecutive nights, you're going to have, you know, some challenges. But for the most part, it was run very, very well. And it's like I always say, and we talk about, I mean, when it's a major event, our community comes together like no other, and we really step up and deliver. And I think that happened once again, and really showed a lot of people from all over the country and the world that this is a place that's built to host major events, and that hopefully will translate into more opportunities for us to do this in the future.
Absolutely. And I know the build up for just about a year to this event, and it seems as though on pretty much almost every front, it was delivered. We brought it, and it was great. And I congratulated in my open comments the city administration, everyone that worked so hard on doing this, ASM, you know, a lot of folks with the Dome and otherwise really pulled it off, and I thought it really put us in a good light for certain, and in a big, big way, on a big stage too, right?
Huge stage, huge social media presence, lots of viral video and content that went all over the world, and I think really showed the joy and the unique spirit of the people of New Orleans and of the community, the business community, the people who work in the industry. You know, it just really gave us an opportunity to shine. And of course, we came through, which we generally do. And I think that genuineness about wanting to welcome people in for celebrations that are monumental like this one, it really shined through for us. And it's going to, these things pay dividends in the long run. You got to deliver when you have the opportunity. And when you do, good things come from that. So really excited to see the momentum we can build.
You know, Walt, I always kind of forget the social media impact because, I mean, it's real, it's relevant, and it's real time. I mean, it's as the stuff's happening. And I know you have folks at your organization that are monitoring that all the time because that can be just as big of an influence as opposed to anything else, right?
I think in many ways almost bigger than anything else. I think the fact that you're getting that very authentically from an individual who is kind of broadcasting and sharing in real time, it doesn't allow it to be manipulated or spun or sold. I mean, you're getting something that's real and that's happening. And when you can capture these joyful moments and share them and people see it, I think it reminds them about the special spirit of our city and the fact that you can be who you want to be here, celebrate the way you want to celebrate here, and do it in a way that's fun, that's safe, and that is you know magical in a way, is really important. And that social media power is there, and for our sake, over the course of the last several days, it's been overwhelmingly and almost unanimously positive, and that's a great thing to see.
Absolutely. Final thoughts?
Well, we're just grateful. I mean, look, grateful to Taylor Swift and her team for coming here, choosing our city out of all the cities that they could have chosen, and grateful for the joy that all the fans that followed her here brought to our community as well. And I think they got a lot out of it from our community. We got a lot out of it from them. And it's a great thing when these things come together. So a lot of joy for everyone. Let's just keep going in the right direction and build some momentum.
Absolutely. That's Walt Leger, President and CEO of New Orleans & Company. Walt, thank you so much for your time, your insight. Keep up the great work, and I'm sure we'll be visiting soon.
Thank you. Always a pleasure. Thank you, Noel.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We'll go to the talk lines when we return. Give us a shout. We'll be right back. On the text line, a problem is continuing enforcement. The city and now the state have cleared those encampments numerous times. However, there's no follow-up. They just fill back up again. And also, another text, I totally agree with you, Sheriff. While I do have empathy for those experiencing homelessness, we have to draw the line somewhere. I'm tired of the city doing absolutely nothing. Well, they're not doing nothing. I mean, you know, then that was my point. And I certainly appreciate the efforts of Councilwoman Harris, Leslie Harris. I just have a different perspective as to some of the ways that we're going to execute this. I think we need to have an overarching plan. I don't think we should call that their home. You know, they're there without permission. They're on public property. That's not a home. I mean, if that's what we're going to start doing, you know, and I use the analogy, I say, you know, what's to stop people from setting up Morgan sheds out on the lakefront? I mean, would we take the same approach? I don't think so. You know, I mean, it's just kind of interesting as to where this all is going to go and how far can we go with it? Is it just tents? I mean, if somebody actually started putting a collection of Morgan sheds underneath the interstate, would our approach be different? Something that looks a little bit more permanent, maybe? I don't know. I mean, it seems to me that all the same issues would be there, right? These people, they're homeless. This is what they call their home. They're living there. You know, I don't, what would be different? Some of these people are working. a lot safer living in the Morgan shed than it is there. For a couple of $100, they could probably get somebody to drop one right there under the interstate. How would you deal with that? What would be the reaction? Kind of curious. I mean, we've actually seen this happen in other areas of the country. That's why I talk about other areas of the country and why they are addressing these things in the manner that they are addressing them now, because they've sat by and they've used the wrong language. They were not consistent and constant in their enforcement. Always have some kind of pressure. It doesn't have to be overwhelming pressure, but some kind of pressure. Same issues. They are very unhappy with them getting to choose where they want to be. Because in some of those areas, they're like choosing our Audubon Park. Well, you know, in some of these other areas, they have these inner city parks that are right in the midst of everything. Audubon and City are a little bit detached from the business center of the city of New Orleans, but there are others that present in a different way, and that's where they decided they're going to go. And it gets rough really quick. And before you know it, you can't come up with a plan because the numbers are overwhelming. And that's why you have to continue to put pressure on this issue. And as I said, it doesn't have to be overwhelming, but that there's a clear understanding and a delineation of what can and what cannot be done. Let's go to Mary. Mary, you're up. What say you?
Hey, Neil. Good morning.
Good morning.
I totally agree with you about the homeless situation. How come the city can remove people from the neutral grounds and the sidewalks setting up during Mardi Gras, but they can't remove the homeless? What's the difference?
Good point. Camping out. Same. It really presents some of the same issues and the challenge, right?
Exactly.
You know, safety concerns, hygiene, all kinds of different issues that are presented there. Coordination of a large group of people right there next to a heavily trafficked roadway on both sides under the interstate. I mean, all of the issues are the same, right? The real difference is that we will have, and this is not a criticism, because I think they are well-intentioned, but you have advocates for this population. And so these advocates run to court. And they run to court, and they start filing TROs and preliminary injunctions and trying to prevent people from doing certain things. And a lot of our judges are not really proactive, in my view. It's just an opinion. Of really doing the research before they willy-nilly start signing these things and gaining a better understanding of what they should and should be not be doing. They're supposed to be putting up bonds as part of these extraordinary proceedings. Some judges don't even require it. I mean, it's like we've run amok in many respects, and in a lot of cases, the bond is incredibly low. If we ever figured out what the impairment would be to the reputation of the city, the safety and security of the city, the repeated dollars spent, the fiscal note of having to police this area of public property, it would seem to me that maybe the bonds should be higher. I think the bond in this case was $500. It's de minimis. If anybody believes that this is a $500 problem, you know,
right?
I mean, it ought to more adequately reflect what the situation is. But this is why we end up where we are. Go ahead, Mary. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm not one who goes sets up for Mardi Gras, okay? But what gives city the right to remove those people and not remove the homeless? I just think it's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, some of the challenges, the necessity for developing an overarching plan, and not willing to accept anything less. Got a text here that says, my attitude is just evil. You're lucky not to be in that situation. No, I'm not lucky to not be in that situation. That's not the case. I worked hard my entire life. I was not born with the proverbial silver spoon in a part of my anatomy. So, no. I worked hard every day. And for most of my life, worked two jobs. So, no, I don't make any excuses for this. You know, I guess I was fortunate that I didn't really experiment with drugs and this and that, you know, or whatever else. And maybe I haven't had a lot of difficulty in my life. Tried to stay true to the mission as much as possible, but worked hard. I mean, and I understand. It doesn't mean I'm evil because I want a plan. I mean, that's part of the problem here. It's not an all or nothing zero sum game. It's a balance of interest. There are competing interests here. And we're not being truly objective if we don't recognize the competing interests. There are taxpayers that want something of their community. They want to be successful. They want to have their best foot forward every single day, 365, 24/7. We are not bad, evil people for a desire for a plan. Now, I can promise you, if they set up their tent on your front lawn, you would not be as understanding. I know that for a fact. I have friends that lived in San Francisco. They used to camp out on their front porch. And they'd call the police, and the police would do nothing about it. They were living in the Castro. And it got so bad, because they actually had a covered front porch. So when they had those long, misty rain periods in San Francisco, that became a great place to camp out. What did they do? They sold their house for literally nothing. And they left because they couldn't tolerate it anymore. And it's, again, the balance of interest. And the sooner that we recognize that and we work through it and we stop calling each other names because there are things that we desire in the way that we present ourselves, it's not a lot to ask for, I don't think. A couple of down ramps off the interstate into the economic sector, the most productive economic sector in the city of New Orleans. We're in the competition business. I say this about the French Quarter all the time. If you went into a boardroom and you said, we're going to put bucket beaters in front of the door at the most iconic restaurant in New Orleans that has a reputation around the world, I'd like to find those people that go into that boardroom and make that decision. But we allow them to pick their spot. Are you kidding me? Common sense. We'll be right back. When we come back, folks, we'll visit with Ruth Lawson, the president of the Jefferson Chamber, and parish president Cynthia Lee Shang about the state of Jefferson Parish that will be delivered by the parish president at the Chamber of Commerce annual State of Jefferson tomorrow, actually. So we'll be right back with them. Stay with us.